People have got it in their computers. But it is the Word of God. Amen. Now, when the Word of God speaks about God, what does it speak of? Well, let me just ask you, when somebody speaks about your Word, what are they speaking of? Well, that's different. But what's different about it? The Word of God is His bond. Is your Word your bond? Does your Word display your character and your nature? Well, it ought to. Well, how many know the Word of God displays the very character and the very nature of God? Everything that is written in this Word is about God. And you know that God is a God that cannot lie. Not that He won't lie, He can't lie. Amen. Now, do you know what that means? That means everything that He says is truth. Everything that God says is the way that it is. If God said, "Today is Tuesday, 11 o'clock, you'd say, "Wait a minute, wait a minute, God. It's Sunday, 11 o'clock. And God'd say, "Look again." You look again, whoop. It's Tuesday morning. What am I doing here in church? Because whatever God says, that's what it is. That's what it is. Now, what we have to understand is it in the last days, and it's not really the last days, it's always been this way, that the devil tries to belittle anybody, anyone that tries to put a premium or a priority on the Word of God. That's why most churches would rather go to have somebody just tickle their ear, tell a few jokes, sing a few hymns, tell them how good they are. Bye-bye. See you next week. The devil would like for everyone, and I'm just sharing some things here before I get into the message, okay? I'm just trying to show you some things that Satan has always devalued the Word of God and belittle anybody or anyone that would bring forth the Word. That's why he belittles preachers and the body of Christ, those that will stand on the Word. Amen. Now, when we talk about the Word, because that's what we're going... Well, in fact, let's go to Luke chapter 4. I didn't tell you to open your Bible yet, did I? All right. Now, in Luke chapter 4, now listen to me just one more time, then I'm going to read something to you. In the day that Jesus walked the earth, most all the people did not see Jesus as the Son of God. What did they see Jesus as? They saw Him as a preacher. It was later that Peter, and only Peter, had the revelation that you are the Christ. Remember? Amen. The Son of the living God. And Jesus said, "Hey, flesh and blood, human study, what you read out of a book, Peter, didn't reveal that to you, but my Father." So it was later that they had a revelation that Jesus was the Christ or the Messiah or the Son of the living God. Now we're just the opposite today. Most people today don't see Jesus as a preacher. They see Him as the Christ. They see Him as the Son of God. But you see, Jesus showed up after His inauguration, after His baptism in the River Jordan, after being tempted. And by the way, Watch what you hear, even out of well-meaning Christians trying to tell you that God is testing and putting us through these things. My Bible says that God does not, when temptations come, God does not tempt us with evil, or can He be tempted by it? Because I heard people say, hey, you know these hurricanes that came. Hey, you know the crises that were. It's God's judgment. Now that's what the devil would like for the world to believe about God. That He's a mean, old, ugly God. He's ready to zap people upside the head. No. God in the Holy Spirit will always tell you and I before something happens rather than after it's already happened. A lot of people won't tell you something. Oh, it's already happened. Well, that was God. No. The Bible says when you fall and when you're tempted by test and trial, you'd count it all joy knowing that the trying of your faith is going to work patience. Bless God. Are y'all here? Amen. So I tell you what. Now, Jesus came on the scene and He came on the scene and He said this. We need to read this. We read it, but I need to read this before I read the other so you'll understand what I'm talking about. He came into the synagogue. That was the church. And it was His custom. And He opened up. They gave Him the scripture. They gave Him a scroll. And He opened up to a place in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. And that's what He said, and that was what we would call when He stood up to deliver His message. Listen, He stood up and delivered what we would call the text. You know, like when we say open our Bibles, this is what we read. Well, this is what Jesus did. Now, not everybody had Bibles, only the priest and the rabbis. But He said, the Spirit, look at verse 18 clearly. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He showed up and said, God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, what is the gospel to the poor? What is the gospel to a poor man? You don't have to be poor no more.
Hallelujah.
He said, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, the downtrodden, those that have been bruised, those who have been hurt and wounded, to proclaim. Now the understood word here is to preach, to proclaim. To proclaim liberty to the captives. There are people that are held in bondage. They're in captive. They're being held captive against their will. They're being held by the devil and his cohorts because they don't know how to break through. They don't know how to stand in faith and put on the armor of God that they can stand against all the evil, cunning devices of the devil. You know anybody like that? In bondage? Broke? Busted? Downtrodden? Insecure? Can't smile? No victory? Well, I just want to tell you something. If you're a believer today, you are not a victim.
Amen.
You are a victor.
Amen.
Are y'all here?
Amen.
There ain't nothing about death, defeat, destruction, doom, gloom should not be in our vocabulary. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, Mm-hmm. Now, to preach the recovering of the sight of the blind. That's the understood word, to preach. Jesus came as a preacher. Are you with me? To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To what? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, if you're new to Christianity, maybe you don't understand all those things, but everybody in that synagogue understood exactly what Jesus was saying. They knew the acceptable year of the Lord was the year of God's Jubilee, where on the 50th year, the Jubilee year, that every man, every woman would be set free from their debt, set free from their lack, set free from their slavery, and they would be free. Hallelujah. They would be free. He closed the book. The next verse, you can read it. And he said today, this scripture is being fulfilled right here, right now, in your hearing. Amen. Woo-hoo! Amen. I mean, they got it. Well, some of them got it. Some of them didn't. Now, Jesus never asked them to believe that he was the Son of God. What he asked them to believe is what he preached. He said, I have come because I'm anointed by God to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to set free the brokenhearted, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, I have come to preach that because I'm anointed to preach it. Believe it and you will receive it. Amen. Don't and you won't. Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? I said that's pretty simple. And Jesus began his ministry in the earth preaching from Isaiah 61. And you study, you'll find out that Jesus went about all through Galilee and Judea preaching from that text. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because you can go and read Acts chapter 10, verse 36, 37, and 38. Where it talks about when Peter stood up and told everybody after having that rooftop vision and going to Cornelius' house, he said that this gospel of the Christ was published throughout Judea. That Jesus come as the anointed one of God, and it says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. Now, listen to me. That's what Jesus preached first everywhere he went. I'm anointed. I've been sent by God. He didn't ask them to believe that he was the Son of God. He asked them to believe what he preached. And if you believed what he preached, you got healed. Amen. You got delivered. Amen. You got set free. Are you with me? And so, Mr. Devil, I don't even think he's worth calling Mr. has spent the last 2,000 plus years trying to diminish and make little the Word of God. Even the disciples, you can read in the early stages, did not put a premium on what Jesus came to do in the Word. They belittled the Word. Jesus went to his own hometown. The Bible says he went back to Nazareth. And he could there do no great and mighty works because what? Because of their unbelief. They did not put a premium on this word. You go all the way back to the old covenant and you find that there was a brother named Esau. How many remember Jacob and Esau? That Esau, the Bible says, demised His blessing, the Father's blessing, and he didn't receive that blessing. And when you look up that word demise, it means to belittle something or to be ready or to make it small. Now this is what I'm trying to teach you this morning. If you're going to make it through the troubled times, if you're going to make it through the crises of the current day situations, you're going to have to put a high premium on the Word of God. Because I'm telling you this and I'm telling you again, that the economy of God is better than ever. The economy of the kingdom of God is not in a downfall. It is in an upward go. There is no lack. There is no debt. There is no crisis. There is no deflation. There is no depression. There is nothing but good in God. And of course, the devil, he wants your mind to stay programmed by all the crises and all the bad news. But you and I, we know better. I said, you and I have decided to follow Jesus. We know Him as the Son of the Living God. We know Him as God Almighty, who is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could think or we could ask. Bless God. Because our God is our provider. Now, well, I'm just telling you these things because you are on a different plane. You're in a different realm. You're not going to partake. Well, you know how people are losing their jobs and struggling. Man, they're in debt. They lost a lot of money. Now, let's look at something here. I had to share that with you so that you'd understand this over here in Luke chapter 8. Jesus launched out His ministry preaching throughout all of Judea. I already told you that, right? Okay. What was He preaching? He was preaching how God had anointed Him to preach. And if you believed what He preached, you would receive. If you didn't, then you didn't. Bible says some believed, just like today. Some believe, some don't. Some put a premium on making it to church, getting here and saying, I'm ready. How many of you come this morning with an expectation of saying, God, I want everything that you have for me today. Use my pastor to bring a word into my hearing. Bring something that will bring faith to me, bless God. Because we are a people who must walk and operate and live and breathe and have our being in faith. We're not going to receive anything from God without faith. But I'll tell you what. Those that believe that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. How many of you want your reward? Amen. Now, He came back to Jerusalem. Fame. People had seen deaf ears open, blind eyes open. Blind Bartimaeus, all those stories you can read about in the Bible, the New Testament. Now, here comes verse 40 in Luke chapter 8. Are you there? It says that Jesus returned. Now, where did He return from? I just got through telling you. He just got through preaching in all of Galilee and Judea. And now He's returned back to Jerusalem. And the multitudes and the people, they welcomed Him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. Say Jairus. Now he was a Well, we'll find out he was a ruler, or he was like the president of the synagogue. That's what it says. He said he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at the feet and begged him to come to his house. If you read the account in Matthew, and you that are taking notes, you can write down, not Matthew, but Mark chapter 5, verses 23 along and there is the same account in Mark's gospel. But here's what Jairus said in Mark's gospel, verse 5, 23. I'll just read it to you. Don't turn there because we're out of time. He said, come. He was speaking to Jesus. He said, come and lay hands on her, his daughter, that she may be healed and that she will live. Now, you didn't catch that yet. That was a faith statement. That was a statement that Jairus heard what Jesus preached. He wouldn't like some of the other priests and rulers in the synagogue that didn't believe and tried to defame him and project him as blasphemous. Evidently, Jairus believed Jesus was who he said he was. Who did he say he was? He said, I'm anointed to preach.
Yes.
Not that he was the Son of God. And he had a need. He had a daughter that was lying at home dying. He said, Jesus, come go home with me. Lay your hands on my daughter, and she'll not die, but she'll live. Now, Jesus has summoned, Jairus has summoned Jesus. Jesus begins to walk in the crowds. It said, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. There was a lot of crowds. You start healing revivals. You start deliverance revivals. Blind eyes, manifestations, signs and wonders and miracles. You're going to draw a crowd. Now a woman, verse 43, having a flow of blood. Can we turn on just a little bit of air, please? Now a woman having a flow of blood for how many years? Isn't this a coincidence? Ain't nothing coincidence in the Bible. Jairus got a daughter 12 years, and here comes a woman that's had an issue of blood flowing for 12 years, who spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any of them. Now let me just stop here. Don't let this thing just pass you by and you don't get something here out of the Word. Not only was this lady sick with an issue of blood, but now she was broke. Why? She spent all she had on doctors. And doctor bills. So evidently she was a woman that had means. But after 12 years, it drained her account. How many of you saw that? Not only sick, but broke. Now that's important. She came behind and touched the border of his garment. The border of his garment. You know what that was? See, Jesus was a Jew, and he was a rabbi, and Jesus wore a prayer shawl everywhere he went. You know why? Because he was a man of prayer. And to a Jewish person, and this lady was a Jew, Jairus was a Jew, that prayer shawl meant something. Everything in his design, his tassels, everything about it was a representation of the prayer going before God. And she reached out. She didn't just grab him by the britcher legs. Yeah, Jesus. She touched the prayer shawl. She knew that Jesus was a man of prayer. Now, picture all this crowd. All the people. And the next part of that verse says, and immediately, Shakata Sandili Busata Dirata. The moment she touched that prayer shawl, immediately her flow of blood stopped. How many of you'd like to have some immediately's? Some suddenness to come. Maybe today is your day. Hallelujah. You ready? Sometimes somebody give me that and they'd been using it for blow their nose. That's why I'm always hesitant. Are y'all with me? Okay. And Jesus said, and look at this, and Jesus said, who touched me? He didn't know who touched him. And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? See, all the people around me, you're in a crowded man, and all these people, and Peter, very carnally minded, Lord, you're saying, who touched you, man? There are people touching you everywhere. And Jesus said, No. You don't understand. Same. It wasn't that Jesus healed that woman. It was the anointing that was upon Jesus is what healed that woman. It was that woman's faith, we're going to find out, that extracted that anointing from Jesus to flow into her sick body. It had been that way for 12 years. Look what it says. But Jesus said, somebody touch me, for I perceive power going out of me. Now you do a study across there, you'll find out the word power there is not authority, but really it is the anointing. He said, I perceive somebody with a need touch me, and the anointing of God that is upon me to preach the gospel to the blind, to the sick, to the captive has drawn that anointing out of me. Yeah, there's a lot of people touching me, but there's not a lot of people touching me with faith. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, and by the way, you know, it was by Jewish rule, if you were a woman with the issue of blood, unclean as you were considered, you were not to show yourself in public, because if you did, you were subject to be stoned to death. And the very man that had the legal right and the power and the authority, the ruler of the synagogue, was standing right there with Jesus, who could have said, stone her. But he didn't. You know why? Because he had a need and he had a daughter. And he'd already asked Jesus and released his faith in Jesus. Come and heal my daughter and she will live and not die. Now there's a story here. There's a lesson here. You're going to stay in faith. You're going to have to shut your mouth. And only say what Jesus says. Amen. Now let me get this. She came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him. Now let me ask you something. How do we know this woman had an issue with blood and she had this infirmity for 12 years and she spent all that she had on doctor's bill? How do we know that? Because when she stopped them, you can't shut a woman up sometimes. You go back and read Mark's gospel. You'll find out that she declared all the story, all the truth to Jesus. They had to sit there and listen to her story. That's how come it's in the Bible. He didn't make this thing up. Are you with me? And Jairus, bless his heart, didn't interrupt her. In fact, he probably knew her. He probably said, yeah, that woman's in my church, and she could talk the horns off a billy goat. But he let her talk. He did not open his mouth to interrupt her. He recognized and he saw somebody in faith seeking what Jesus came to do. Now, the Bible tells us that she heard, you can go back and read, I didn't read out of Mark's account, but you can go back and read. She had heard, like most of the people in that era, in that time, that was involved in any way at all in the synagogue, had heard Jesus preach that very message. How God has anointed me, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He's anointed me to preach. She said, if I can just... She heard Jesus was in town. She heard Jesus was out there. And if she could just get to Jesus, if she could just draw from the anointing of Jesus that Jesus preached and said that the anointing is upon me, she said, I can be healed. Amen. Do you see that? And here's what it says. It says, and all the people reasoned that she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And look at this part. And he said to her, daughter, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you, well, the word should be whole. It says, well, has made you whole. Go in peace. Or in other words, go in shalom. Now wait a minute, because a lot of you think religiously, you don't study your Bible, so you just read words and oh, that's peace. No, a Jewish person, when they said go in shalom, shalom meant nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing incomplete. When Jesus said go in shalom, not only did she get healing for her body, but she got finances and she got breakthrough and she was made whole, bless God, whole. How many know? If you got an issue with you, and it's a killing disease, and you get healed from it, but you don't have any money, how many know you're broke? Amen. You're still not complete. There's a difference. He didn't say, your faith has healed you. He said, your faith has made you whole. Oh, that tells me that the angels of God were released. That tells me that the prospering angels had already been released to go forth and to go beyond and to do the supernatural. And when she got home, she said, whoop, there it is! Bless God! I was dead! I was broke! But now my God has supplied every need I have. Called her a daughter. Well, Jairus had a daughter. He got to thinking, Jesus called her daughter. Now, you know why Jesus called her daughter? The book of Galatians tells us. It says, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon you. And you go on and read in the last part of Galatians 3, verse 29. It said, and if ye be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise of God. In other words, Jesus recognized her as a daughter in the covenant of Almighty God. And the covenant of Abraham says, you bless Abraham and you will be blessed. She deserved her healing. She received her healing. She had a promise of her healing. And she accepted the man of God that preached under the anointing and received her healing. And she received her wholeness. Somebody said, "Well, Pastor, you don't understand." No, I understand. I understand that you have not learned to live, walk, and operate and speak faith. You've learned a lot of religion. I said you've learned a lot of religion. Religion is genetically altered Bible. It'll weaken your faith. Just like you eating genetically altered food. It'll put fat around your belly. It'll choke you. It'll strain you. It'll ultimately destroy. Are y'all here?
Yes.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, let's finish this, because here's the action line. He said, "Daughter," and by the way, every daughter of God has a right to healing. Every daughter of God has a right to prosperity. Every daughter of God has a right to believe in faith and receive what they believe. Amen. I said every daughter in here has a right to believe that by the stripes of Jesus you are healed. So bless God, reach out and touch the anointing and draw from it and receive it in the name of Jesus. Every daughter has a right to the blessing of Abraham. Even a daughter from Dili has a right to prosper, be in health, and have a godly husband. Bravo, yeah. Every son. Somebody said, "What kind of Christian are you?" I said, "I'm a Zionist Christian." Man, you'd have to really be dumb not to be. Some people don't even know what that is. But the Bible says you bless Abraham, you'll be blessed.
Amen.
You curse him, you'll be cursed. You'd have to answer the question, how dumb could you be to reject and to refuse Israel? Hello? Now, look at this. Are you with me? All right, he called her a daughter. He said, "You be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in shalom. Receive everything." Don't receive part of the pie. Receive the whole part of your salvation.
Amen.
Spirit, soul, and body. A lot of people want money, but they don't have any spiritual sense. And prosperity will ruin a fool, right? Okay. He said, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." Now, they're all being thronged by this multitude of people. They're sitting there listening to this woman's testimony of how she came to Jesus and why she came to Jesus. And that she was immediately healed the moment she touched the garment of Jesus. And all of a sudden somebody's working their way through the crowd and they come up to Jairus and they say, "Hey, don't trouble the master anymore. She's dead." Jairus, now he could have blown it right here. He did not say a word. Now, let me just say this to you. The man that came up to Jairus to tell him not to trouble the master or the rabbi didn't know who the master was. Because you ain't going to trouble Jesus with any trouble. You're certainly not going to trouble him with somebody that's sick or somebody that's dying. Somebody said, "Yeah, but you don't know, my they died with cancer." Well, so what? You're going to die too?
Amen. Amen.
Why are you going to let a little old mutant cell rebelling in your body take authority over you? As long as you're in fear and bondage of death, you are in bondage to death. As long as you're afraid of dying, you're in bondage to dying. You take authority over that in the name of Jesus, and you develop a military mentality that the commander in Jesus says, by my stripes you are healed. You go to Jesus with that infirmity and say, permission to be healed, sir.
Yes.
And Jesus says, by my stripes you are healed, permission granted. See, that's the problem. We don't have a little military. We don't even have a little military mentality. And most of you know, if you were in the military, whatever the commander of the day said, that's the way it was. If he told you to go clean that commode with a toothbrush, you didn't argue with him. Are y'all here? Now here's what it says. I could go a lot more here. It says, here it says, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the master. You're not going to trouble Jesus with any problem. You're not going to trouble Jesus with any bad news. He don't take bad news. Are you listening to me? He takes bad news. He takes what the devil's meant for bad and turns it around into good. But when Jesus heard it, now let me just stop there, man. I can't get going here. When Jesus heard it, now was he talking to Jesus?
No.
No, he wasn't talking to Jesus, nor was he. Think about that. He's up there pulling on Jairus, telling him, and Jesus heard it. And listen to me. Jesus, remember, said this, if you have done it unto the least of one of them, you have done it unto me. Saul, Saul, why do thou persecutest the Christian? No, he didn't say that, did he? Saul, Saul, why did thou persecute the body of Christ? He didn't say that either, did he? He said, Saul, Saul, why do thou persecutest me? In other words, whenever you do it to one of mine, you have done it to me. You have come to give him bad news, but bad news he will not receive because he has believed what I have preached, and the Spirit of God is upon me and anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now here's the kicker. I'm trying to get there. When Jesus heard it, he answered. He answered, thank God our elder brother will stand up for us. Thank God when we put on the armor of God and having done all we know to do to stand, we can stand holding up the shield of faith, and Jesus will be our rear guard and he will dispatch the angels. Whatever we need to win the battle. You know why? Because we are not victims, we are victors. Hallelujah. Now look what he said. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made whole. Here it is. Did you see it? You didn't see it. Jesus said, stop the fear. Stop the fear. Stop the fear. And just believe.
Yes.
And your daughter will live.
Yes.
There's the action line. In other words, don't believe. Let fear come on you. She'll die. You know why? Because fear contaminates. It pollutes your faith. It strangles your faith. You are asked to believe that word. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Are you here? This would be a good time for you to stand up on your feet. I want to read something else to you. While you stand up out of first, I wish I had time to read a whole bunch more here. Are y'all okay?
Yes.
Hallelujah. 1 John, I'll just read this last part to you. Because the part the devil does not want you to make connection to is the part that your faith has to operate by love. In fact, he tells us in the book of 1 John that love that is perfected casts out all fear. How do you perfect the love of God? He tells you. He said, by keeping the word. Now, the devil does not want you to make that connection. He doesn't want you to have that revelation. He'd just soon you stay in fear. He just soon, every time the enemy comes, that he whips you, you walk out like a dog with his tail between his legs, crying and bawling and, oh, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Listen, you've got the Word. I said, you've got the Word. I said, you have got the Word. Right there at your grasp. Now, here's what he said. Let me read this last to you. 1 John. You know the book of John. He said, these things I have written to you that your joy may be filled. You're in a crisis. You're in a situation. Read the book of John. 1st, 2nd, 3rd. The book of Revelation. Read John. He said, these things I've written to you that your joy might be full. Now you didn't get that either, did you? Here's John, the apostle that Jesus loved. Here's the apostle that no man could kill. They tried to boil him, remember, in oil. That's what history tells us. And he didn't boil. He didn't die. Well, it sounds like the three Hebrew children. Somebody showed up in that pot of oil.
Yeah.
Are you with me? You know why they couldn't kill him? Because he was the apostle of love. He had a revelation of the love of God. Now, here's what he said. This is why you need to read this and read your Bible. Don't just come to church and listen when I preach. Read it. He says, whosoever, I'm in verse 1, they won't put it on the screen. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. How many of you believe that Jesus is the Christ?
Amen.
Then you're born of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ?
Yes.
Then you're born of God. Verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, because His commandments, they're not burdensome. Say this with me. Say, I am born of God.
I believe that Jesus
is the Christ. Say, I keep His commandments, because His commandments are not burdensome to me. Verse 4 says, for whatsoever or whatever. Now, we ask, do we have any whosoever's in here? Okay. Now, do we have any whatever's? He said, whatever is born of God. Are you born of God?
Yes.
Is the blood of Jesus born of God? Is the Word of God born of God?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He said, whatever, not so whosoever now, whatever is born of God overcomes the world.
Amen.
Let it soak in. Yeah, but what if this one gets elected? Now, I've heard all kind of preachers trying to instill fear on people if a certain person gets elected. We're not moved by fear.
Amen.
And whether Democrat or Republican is in office, it's not going to knock God off His throne.
Hallelujah.
Now we need to do our part.
Yes.
Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory Say victory.
Victory.
Say, I'm a victor.
I'm a victor.
This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.